Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ. This is Every Day with Jesus. You're welcome once again to an encounter with the word of life. Hallelujah. And we've been studying A City Set on a Hill. And yesterday we took our time to look carefully at Acts chapter 9 verse 36. Glory to God. Because we're going to explore the New Testament to see other forms of good works that we have been called onto as Christians. We've emphasized the place of preaching the gospel and how that is a good work that Jesus has sent us to do. And how that is one particular good work by which we are able to draw men out of darkness and bring them into the light of God. Amen. So we now began to examine other forms of good works. And at Acts 9:36, we saw how that a disciple called Dorcas in those days was given to charitable deeds, charitable acts. And she was supporting the widows in the early church. Glory to God. We also went through scriptures to see why widows were considered to be less privileged and disadvantaged in those days. And how catering for widows and taking care of those who were regarded as widows was a good work in Bible days. And of course, it's still a good work today. James 1:27 even says, pure and undefiled religion is to visit the orphans and to care for the, visit the orphans and the widows in their need. Glory to God. So, it's a good work. However, we've seen now that we cannot rely on this particular good work to draw men into the light. Amen. To draw men out of darkness into the light. Why? Because at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2, Jesus says we should make sure or ensure that our charitable deeds and acts are not done in public. They are not done for the sake of publicity. We don't make noise about them. We don't blow the trumpet while doing them. Hallelujah. We are meant to do them discreetly. Amen. So how would the world know about Jesus from charitable deeds that are done in secret? Amen. How on earth is the world going to find out about the person of Christ and come to the light of the word of God and come to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God through charitable deeds that are in secret? You know, the Church of Jesus is not an NGO. The Church of Jesus is not some NGO somewhere or some charity organization that loves to publicize the deeds and, you know, the good works or the kind acts on social media, on TV, or in newspapers. Praise God. No, that's not what the church is. Amen. The Church of Jesus is the Church of Jesus, and it is separate from worldly institutions and secular organizations. And as such, we are to follow and obey the instructions of Christ. And one major instruction of Jesus given to us as a church is that we ought not to publicize our charitable deeds. Glory to God. You know, someone says, ah, Pastor, but how will people know? How will people know we are doing good to people? How will people know we are actually supporting people? Well, those who need to know we are supporting people are the people we are supporting. Glory to God. I don't think it makes sense to say, I'm supporting my family members, then I put them on social media. Glory to God. How many of us give stuff to our family members, biological, you know, family now, and then you, as they're about to collect it, you get a photographer, and then you say, okay, take this, and then they snap you, then your mother sees it on Facebook, how that you took a picture of you giving your younger brother or maybe an elder brother a phone. Doesn't make sense. So if the church is the family of God, why should we be publicizing our charitable deeds? Amen. Someone says, but people are not going to know. And because people are not going to know, they will think we are not doing well. Well, that's their problem. Glory to God. We are not out to impress anybody. Charitable deeds are done to meet the needs of men. So it needs no publicity. Now, because it needs no publicity, how on earth is the world going to find out concerning Jesus or come into the light of Christ through such deeds? Yesterday, we saw that that's impossible. Praise God. On the contrary, in the preaching of the gospel, we are not told to be quiet. We are told to make noise about it, to shout about it. We are told to get on the housetops, on the rooftops, and proclaim it. Go everywhere and noise it abroad. That is the meaning of preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. The word preach, one of the words translated preach in the New Testament is the word keruzo. It means to be a town crier, to proclaim as a herald. Praise God. to make noise about it. Come on. So, because this is the primary means by which the world is going to come to know Jesus. Glory to God. So let's continue today to see other places in the Bible where believers are instructed to do good works. And you see how that those works cannot be the basis for shining the light to men in Christ, or shining the light to men in the world. Those works must be subject to our major identity as preachers of the gospel. They must accompany the identity we have as preachers of the gospel. Men should know us as preachers before they know us as, you know, men who are giving to charity. Do you understand? That's important. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. Glory to God. Bible says, do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has loved strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Hallelujah. Now look at all those good works carefully. Pay attention to all those good works that I mentioned carefully. Amen. If she has raised up children, look at that. If she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the feet of the saints, relieved the afflicted. Look at those good works carefully. Which of them is really unique to the believer in Christ? Glory to God. Which of them is really unique to the believer in Christ? Now, that does not mean God has not called us to do these things. But on the surface, which of them are unique, or which of them is unique to the believer in Christ Jesus? Amen. Bringing up children, not unique. Lodging strangers, not unique. Wash the feet of the saints. There were folks, unbelievers, that washed the feet of Jesus in his ministry. Glory to God. What about, what next? Relieving the afflicted. Look at the Good Samaritan parable that Jesus told. That was not a Christian. Amen. So, I mean, this is an impact within the church. Praise God. Saying if a woman has brought up lost strangers, has relieved the afflicted, washed the feet of the saints, and brought up children, he's talking about, is still impact in the church. Praise God. But then this particular good works are not unique to the man in Christ. Anybody can raise children. Anybody can lodge strangers. Anybody out there can relieve the afflicted. Glory to God. Anybody can wash the feet of saints according to the custom of the Jews. If you visit the house of anybody back in those days, I mean, they are just going to bring out a basin and a towel or something and then wash your feet. Anybody could be found doing that. Glory to God. According to the custom of the Jews or in a Jewish setting. Amen. So that's not unique to the believer. That's not unique to the man in Christ. That's why the ministry of the word must take center stage. It must be at the forefront. It must lead in our activities. Because that is the way we are going to establish an identity for Christ in this world. Glory to God. In the ministry of Jesus, we saw how he catered for people's material needs. Glory to God. Jesus catered for people's material needs as they paid attention to the ministry of the word. That's what you're going to find in the ministry of Jesus. Amen. You don't find Jesus going about trying to just do all kinds of random good acts and all that without establishing an identity as a preacher of the word of God. But we see in his ministry how that he was catering for the needs of men, material needs of men, as they paid attention to the ministry of the word. Glory to God. So not that he was doing charity and then hoping to preach the gospel. No, he preached the word. And those who came to learn had their needs met. That's the order. Jesus preached the word. He taught the gospel. And those who came had their needs met. Amen. Because the foremost identity we have to establish in this world is the identity of a preacher of the good news. The herald of the good news. Amen. Not just any kind of good news. The good news of Christ. Glory to God. Such that the reason people glorified God for all that Jesus did was because they had known that he was a man sent from God. Glory to God. The reason why people glorified God for all that he did, for all that Jesus did, all the good things that he did was because they had known him to be a man sent from God. They had known him to be a preacher of the word, a preacher of the gospel. He had an identity established as a preacher. I mean, back in Jerusalem in those days, they would refer to Jesus as rabbi, teacher, master. Glory to God. Because imagine if Jesus was just like Herod, and then he was doing good, you know. Herod did good, and then they listened to him speak at some point, and they said, this is the voice of God, not the voice of man. Amen. And they didn't give God the glory. So, random acts of kindness, goodness, and all that does not in any way indicate that you're a man sent from God or you have a link with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus had established an identity as a preacher. Then he was doing good, meeting material needs as men were paying attention to the ministry of the word. Glory to God. This is very, very important. We must never assume that we are just to go about trying to do every other kind of good works while neglecting the major thing. It is by preaching the word of God we do good. Listen, I've come across diverse people who were in need of other things while I was discipling them and teaching them God's word. Amen. I mean, I preach the gospel to you, then we keep having meetings, contacts, I'm reaching out to you, I come to your place, I reach out to you, and then I discover you have need of school fees. Then I discover you have need of something. I discover you have need of a phone. I mean, I've bought phones for people. I remember in Ghana, I even had a phone then. I gave it out to a disciple. That's meeting a need. Glory to God. This year alone, I had sent money to somebody to get a phone. That's a need met while preaching and teaching the word. This person was not coming because of material needs, because of money. But while discipling the person and preaching and teaching the person, I found out there was a need and I could meet it. So the truth is, you're going to find out you have to meet the needs of certain people through the course of discipleship or through the course of discipling them or reaching them with the word of God. But you don't establish an identity as a charity person. Glory to God. As a charity person, like you are for charity. And then all they come for is money, charity, help, finances. No. The identity should be that of a preacher. Glory to God. And as you preach, you now begin to respond to people's needs. Glory to God. This is very, very important. Hallelujah. So let's continue. Very important. So Jesus had established an identity as a preacher. And so it wasn't hard for men to connect the good deeds he was doing as something the Father was doing through him. So they gave God the glory. Amen. They gave God the glory. And you know, Jesus is our example. Hallelujah. Jesus is our example. His identity as a preacher was loud and clear. And that's our example today and forever. Glory to God. Look at this other place. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 to 19. Hallelujah. You know, interestingly, someone may say, well, why were you sharing with us the things you did for people and all that? Well, it's in the context of teaching and sharing practical examples. Amen. You know, Paul at Acts of Apostles 20:35 was sharing with the elders, and he showed them how that he had labored with his hands to also support those who were with him, to meet the needs and the necessities of those who were with him. So that's in the context of teaching and sharing practical example. It wasn't done so that people could know. Amen. It wasn't done in front of people. You don't even know the person I'm talking about. Glory to God. You know, that just came to my mind to address. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 to 19. Bible says, command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Have you seen? Let them do good, that they be rich in good works. This is also about being philanthropic. Glory to God. Amongst the saints, command those who are rich in the present age. Now listen, this is also not exclusive to the believer. Praise God. This is also not exclusive to the believer. But the difference is that he has an eternal reward because he has eternal life. That is, the difference is that the believer has an eternal reward because he has eternal life. An unbeliever can do the same, but there's no reward ultimately because he doesn't even have eternal life. So he's going to be lost. So for the believer, he has a reward because he has eternal life. Glory to God. That's the difference. But the act of doing good and sharing, you know, because you have money, because you are rich in this world, is not exclusive to believers. The believer who is rich in this world must shine the light by preaching Jesus while doing other good works in the body. Amen. So the believer who is rich in the world must not depend and rely on his charitable deeds alone and say, ah, since I'm sharing money and giving and supporting people, they ought to know that my own message is already loud and clear enough. That's my own gospel. No, the rich believer must also shine the light. He must preach the word of God. Glory to God. And then do other good works in the body. Amen. Isn't to rely on his philanthropy to shine the light of Christ. Isn't to rely on his philanthropy to shine the light of Christ. He must allow the gospel define his identity. Glory to God. He must allow the gospel define his identity so that men can link his charitable deeds with his faith. Amen. So men can make a connection between his charitable works and his faith. Amen. So he must have an identity as a preacher. An identity as a preacher of the gospel. Many times believers fall into this trap when wealth sets in. When wealth and a lot of money sets in. Glory to God. They just suddenly lose their drive and their passion for preaching. And then suddenly their gospel is the gospel of supporting others who are preaching. That's not in the scriptures. Glory to God. The rich believer, the poor believer, the average middle class believer must be found preaching the word of God. All of us have been sent to preach. Praise God. So, because without the gospel on our lips, our identity is hidden in this world. Without the gospel on our lips, our identity is hidden in this world. At the very best, people can view us as good, kind, nice, but not as sons of God. At the very best, people can say, that's a good guy. That guy is a good guy. That guy is a nice guy. That guy is so kind. My God, he's so kind. See, but until you preach the word, until you open your mouth to share the gospel of Jesus, people will never regard you as a minister of the gospel or as a child of God. Glory to God. Because those things are not unique to you and I. So if there's anything Christ doesn't want hidden from men, it is his word, the gospel. That is the only thing Jesus doesn't want us to do in secret. He wants us to be loud about it. The man Paul at Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed. I associate with the gospel. I publicly associate with the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. If there's anything that Jesus doesn't want hidden, it is the preaching of the word of God. His word. He wants us to talk about it boldly in public so that men can come into the knowledge of the truth. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24 to 27. Matthew 10:24-27. Bible says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Glory to God. Imagine that. Look at that kind of instruction. Whatever I tell you in the ear, speak on the housetops. Don't keep it secret. Talk about it. Blast it everywhere. Preach about it. Amen. Be bold about it. Proclaim it. Herald it. Talk about it. Declare it plainly everywhere on the housetop. It should not be kept secret. Glory to God. Did you see how he says the word should be preached on the housetops? You see that? It has to be proclaimed everywhere. Amen. That's what he wants us to show all men primarily. The world must know us as preachers and heralds of the Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there was a wave of deceit that began to sweep through the church in the 21st century, in which many believers were not actively involved in the work of ministry, not actively involved in evangelism, not actively involved in soul winning, but you find many believers becoming pioneers of NGOs. Amen. Because to them, that was a major way for them to shine the light of Christ. Glory to God. In fact, I've seen people drop and abandon ministry initiatives and leadings. Glory to God. Assignments for embarking on, you know, being an NGO, starting an NGO rather, and then trying to, by that, show the world that you're a Christian. It's a funny perspective. It's a wave of deceit. Amen. Jesus wants us to boldly preach the word. Don't look for other methods or strategies. Just do it as raw as it is. Just preach it. Amen. Just preach it. Talk about Jesus everywhere. Talk about Jesus everywhere. You know, somebody was sharing with me a testimony of how he had gone out on evangelism just yesterday. And he began to reach out to these students that were coming out of their school environment. I think they've opened some schools or maybe a lesson or tutorial center. So he began to reach out to them. And two of them were listening. Later, somebody called for them, said their parents were looking for them, and then they went away, and then he engaged some others, and then before he knew it, there was a circle of people, those teenagers, over 20, all of them gathered around him, and they were listening to his words. Hallelujah. Listening to the word of God, and he was preaching and sharing, and they were asking questions. You know, young children and teenagers, young people like that, are always full of questions. They're always curious and inquisitive. So they were asking questions, and he kept giving answers from the word of God. That's what we're talking about. Amen. As raw as Jesus delivered it to us. Preach the word in and out of season. Just talk about it. Amen. Don't look for strategies or methods or ideas. No, you are too late. Amen. You know, the amount of effort you want to put into strategizing and planning. No, just go and tell it the way it is. The work is that of a town crier. A town crier does not look for strategies. It just simply goes out there to tell the world what the king is saying. Amen. That is exactly how Jesus wants us to stand and preach the gospel out there. Amen. Whether it's in the bus, whether it's with a friend on the train, whether it's in an airplane, anywhere, whether it's in the office, while on break, chatting with a colleague, just preach the word as raw as it is. And then you see Jesus glorified, you know, through that ministry. Glory to God. So we're going to continue from here tomorrow. We're going to have a great time again in the word of God. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of prayers, full of spiritual songs, full of faith and power. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.